Mark's Gospel and chapter 5. Mark's Gospel and chapter 5. And we'll just read from verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard these words spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make you this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But he had put them all out, and taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he said unto the damsel, he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose, and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. We know that God blesses the reading of his word. This is the only story in the Bible where we see Jesus been asked to do something, and he takes up the invitation. And then in the middle of the thing, he's interrupted, and he stopped the proceeding, what he set out to do. Now, within this bit that we've read, there's deep things. In Jairus, the man of the synagogue representing the Jews, we see a picture of Israel and that nation, how God would deal with that nation. And then he would lay them aside, and he would deal with the Gentiles. But I don't want to get into these deep things. I just want from the surface the simple things that you might understand. So, just before we start, I would like you to look, lift your eyes and just look at verse 17. Because here he was on the other side of the sea, and he'd done a miracle over there with a man that was possessed with demons, and he'd come back across the sea, and they began to pray unto him to depart out of their course. And they began to pray him to depart out of their course. One group prayed for Jesus to leave, while on the other side, he's welcome, and the gospel is received. I'll tell you, Robert Levy was here a couple of weeks ago, and he was showing us things that was going on in Ethiopia. And the sad thing I found was, he said, the sunset is going down in this land. But over there in these other lands, God's doing a great work, and hundreds is coming to know Christ. But here, and we've got to ask this question, is Christ welcome here in New Cumnock? Well, if we just look at the hall tonight and the empty seats, it can answer the question itself. And I ask you a question. Are you just one that was in this crowd with a curiosity? Or are you amongst those who welcomes Christ? Well, thank God there's one here on this side of the shore who's praying for Christ to come. And if you just look at verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. Here is one in the crowd, and he's got a real need. His wee lassie's lying dying, and he bows before Christ, and he comes to the right person, and he takes the right posture at the feet of Christ. And this is a man with position. He's the ruler of the synagogue. And here he is, turning his back on all that he'd stood for in that religion, amongst the crowd, and he kneels before Christ. Does he need to kneel before Christ in front of the whole crowd? Well, the Bible does say, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You could bow the knee tonight in this hall, or in your own home. But a day will come when you stand before Christ, and if you never reach out to him, then you've all bowed the knee, you'll be made to bow the knee. Verse 24 it says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Here we see the gentleness and the compassion of the Lord. He's always ready and he's always willing to take a genuine invitation. Do you see the loving kindness of Christ? What better place could you be than walking with him, even when all is dark and gloomy? But now comes a big test in the middle of this man's problem. Everything stops because they're interrupted. And the faith that this man came with, bowing his soul and humbling his soul, and Christ stops. Remember these words. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Here's a man humbling himself before Christ and before a crowd. And then the interruption comes. A certain woman in verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years. We see here the woman had suffered the entire length time of the little girl. The little girl had spent her whole lifetime bringing joy and happiness to her family, while this poor woman had suffered for 12 years. How sad was this situation? The wee girl's life coming to an end. This poor woman not knowing where to turn next. Her very illness makes her unclean, because according to Jewish law, if you had an issue of blood, you couldn't touch anything you touched, defiled. And it causes separation from society. And sin in our life causes separation from God. He cannot look upon sin. His eyes is too pure and too holy. And sometimes when we get to that position, we feel so dirty. And it's there we need that cleansing power of Christ. In verse 26 we see, and she had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Everything has been tried. Her money is gone, and her case is now hopeless. In fact, it says she's worse. You ever feel like that? You've sought happiness, pleasure, friendship, and even your loved ones sometimes just turn their back and don't care much about you and your troubles. My dear friend, you're just one in the crowd. There's a whole world tonight, and they're searching all these things and more. And there are many today that have promised all these things. Better health, better looks, good times, more money, better cars and better holidays. The list is endless. If you just watch the television and the advertisements, I keep telling you, you can get your beauty here, you can get your wealth here, you can get your pleasure here. Well, this woman had tried everything, all the doctors, and she was worse off. And the old devil will promise you all right up to the last, until that appointment that all men will keep, and that is with death. In verse 27, we heard of Jesus came in the press. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched his garment. When she heard of Jesus, thank God there was somebody to tell her of Jesus. And thank God tonight there's someone to tell you of Jesus. And thank God across this land that this book will be opened and people will tell others about Jesus. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. There's one big problem. According to the Jewish law and their condition, if she touches him, she defiles him. She's got to make her mind up here. And here we see a beautiful picture of Calvary. Because the moment she put forth her hand and touched his garment, see what it says. And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Straight away. It was instant. Faith brought instant cure. And it wasn't a big faith. Because I'm sure the poor woman, after all she went through with the promises of all the doctors and the quacks and all the rest of it to try and get healed, and they'd taken everything she had, she was left destitute and alone in the world. But look what faith does in verse 30. And Jesus said, immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and says, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And Jesus immediately notice the speed and the power of the response of this. Knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Do you see it, Calvary? It cost him the touch of a defiled sinner. By faith, an outflows power from Christ. And it must happen. It can't be done without happening. Because God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So the minute you come with a genuine faith and trust in Christ and reach out in that faith, you're saved. For all eternity, you're saved. My dear friend, if you would just realise tonight and confess to God that you're a sinner, and just let this poor woman and come with faith, even though it's the size of a mustard seed, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then instantly, out of Christ, will flow that healing power and you'll be saved for all eternity. Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? I don't know if Thomas was present at this instance, that I'm sure we couldn't have blamed him for doubting.
Yeah.
The Lord has been pushed and shoved in every hand. And he asked, who touched me? Only he and the woman knew what had transpired. Faith had been exercised in that timid touch. Though so gentle a touch, it brought forth power. Such power that it caused virtue to get out of the creator of the universe. From the one who brought all things into being, the touch from this woman that the crowds thought of as nothing, a nobody, don't come near us. They had enough to do with. Yet God in grace loved her. Verse 10:32. And he looked round to see who had done this thing. And how lovely to see amongst the thronging crowd the eye of Jesus Christ. He singles her out amongst the crowd. Yes, he knows his own. As he looks down here tonight, he knows who's touched him in faith. Have you ever reached out and touched him in faith? But in verse 33, but the woman fearing and trembling, know what has done her. She came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. This is where we need to be. And we just think of verse 29 again. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt that healing power. This was no quark cure. She never felt this power from them. This is a great physician, by whose stripes you are healed. It cost them. This poor woman falls at the Saviour's feet with fear and trembling. And Christ puts his hand up on her. He said to her, in verse 34, daughter, she'd become a member of his family. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith, not the touch, the faith behind the touch. Why would he call her back? I tell you, this is a seal of approval. The Lord desires open confession. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth before the crowd, before the world, witness to the world the power that's in me over sin and death. This is what he desires. And out comes from this, the Lord says to her, go in peace. These are the word of the mouth of Christ. Go in peace. Assurance for all time. If he'd let her just get back into the crowd, in her secret way that she came, she would always wonder, did I touch him enough? And it's the same with us. If we don't get the seal of approval of the Holy Spirit, we'll doubt all our lives and we'll tend to drift away. But how timely it all is when we come back to the ruler's problem. For it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler's synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue's house, a certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? Can we even begin tonight to imagine the feeling in this man's heart? Too late. She's dead. Forget it. I found one here that could have helped. He was even willing to come. If only this nobody hadn't interrupted, she might have been saved. But we'll see, this nobody had a very important message for this man. In that Christ can be too late, but still be in time. verse 36 it says, as soon as Jesus heard this word, he saith then to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Well, she's dead. But don't be afraid, just believe. That's a hard one. But this man had stood in the presence of Christ, and he had watched this woman coming in faith. And what he was doing before the man's eyes, he was saying, believe in me. Believe in me. And I feel certain that he was acquainted with Christ for past times in the synagogue, so he maybe have seen his healings before. But the thing is, she's dead. Too late. And we've got to admit tonight, if we were in this place, in this man's shoes, and were we lasses lying at hand dead, we would have struggled. We would have struggled. But I love these words. Be not afraid. Only believe. And these words should never go together. Fear and belief should never go together. But here, it's Christ that's speaking. Only he could bring such words of comfort. For only he could solve this problem. And it's only belief in the person of Christ that can save you tonight. The simple act of faith. Verse 37. He suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James and John, the brother of James. Now the crowd is stopped. Progress can move. They were held up. So they start walking. The man's walking with Christ. They can see him. And progress can be made. And only a select few is asked to come. Peter, James and John. Verse 38 it says, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. This is what death brings. Weeping and wailing. And I'll tell you, my friend, in the meeting tonight, spiritual death adds to that. Gnashing of teeth. Verse 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. The mourners, these would be people that was paid to do the mourning and the weeping and everything. The mourners began to mock Jesus. And when he said the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth, the girl was dead. But Jesus used the image of sleep just to show her condition was temporary. And she would be restored. And Jesus suffered the crowds. He suffered their abuse and their mocking to teach, maintaining hope. Even though the situation seems hopeless. For he is the only one that can see beyond the problem, beyond what's in our lives. He can see beyond that. And it's him we bring to you. In verse 40 it says, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him. And he entereth in where the damsel was, where she was lying. And here we see unbelief. And we see the response that Christ has to unbelief. He puts the mockers out, the unbelievers out. And so it will be in a future day. Remember Calvary, the mockers and the scorners? And they laughed them to scorn. I just wonder went through the scorners' minds that night when they seen the outcome of this. I'll tell you, when I was thinking of this, my mind went to Luke chapter 13. When the Lord gets up and he shuts to the door and you find yourself without. And he says to you, I know not whence you are. I don't know you. I've never felt that touch. That gentle touch that a diseased woman come with faith. I've never felt that coming up for you. I've never felt your love. I've never felt nothing coming for you. And the door is shut. Oh, my dear friend, it doesn't need to be shut. If you would just turn to Christ tonight in simple faith. In verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Here we see the source of life, restoring life, to a wee girl that was dead. He took her wee dead hand, and the words came from his mouth. Arise. At his word, she arises from the dead. And straightway, the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. No wonder they were astonished. Oh, the joy that our Lord can bring into broken lives. How this family would have brought praise to God that day. The rabbis of the day, they considered such people as this woman with the issue of blood is unclean. And even Christ, he wasn't allowed to touch the dead body according to their law. There again we see Calvary, we see that transfer of our filth and sin. And he's willing. He's willing to take it. He was willing in Calvary to suffer there and die for us. Then verse 43, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given to eat. We see too that she has an appetite and strength to walk around. The cure's complete. For he says, give her something to eat. He not only saves and gives new life, but he nourishes. Not only here in the physical life, but he also gives food for the soul and the word of God. And Jesus asked the family not to spread the news. He wanted the folks to speak for themselves. He still had much to accomplish. And he didn't want the crowds following just to see his miracles. But where do you stand tonight? In the crowd, have you rubbed shoulders with Christ? Are you just in this meeting with curiosity? Or is there something that's stirring in your heart? Something that's speaking to you? Well, this woman that was healed the issue of blood, she had to fight her way through that crowd. She had to fight her way to Christ. And she found him, and we see the result of that. As we've seen in this section of God's word, the only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can bring that everlasting life. So I was just thinking, just to kind of sum things up, Jairus had 12 years of sunshine with his wee lassie that were about to be extinguished. The woman had 12 years of agony that seemed hopeless to heal. Jairus was an important man, the ruler of the synagogue. The woman, she was a nobody. We don't even know her name. Jairus was probably wealthy because he was an important man. The woman was poor because she had spent all her money on doctors. Jairus came publicly. The woman came in secret. Jesus responded to the woman immediately. Jesus responded to Jairus after a delay. Jairus' daughter was healed secretly. The woman was healed publicly. Now, we ask you to come tonight. What we say is, God's word says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we might be asking a big thing. To take this old book and read this story out of this old book and say to you, believe in this and you'll be saved. That's hard. Hard if you don't care not. what I want you to do tonight, and every day, open your eyes, watch the sun rise in the morning, watch it setting at night, watch the autumn and the trees dying, watch in the spring when the wee buds come popping up through the grass. That's life. That's life, my friend. Something has to give that life, or it would never happen. I was watching something about David Attenborough the other day, and he was talking about this big shell, and he said, this is 450,000 million years old. I said, where did he get that number? Where did he get that number? If that had been a snail, it would either be eaten or it would have rotted away. It wasn't going to sit that way for 450 years. The Bible tells us about a great flood. And the only thing that how a frog's got to turn into a fossil is if you just get it and plunk it in cement and let it set. That's what the flood done. It came quick and it destroyed everything. It was in its way. This is what we're asking you to believe. We're asking you to believe in when you look up in the sky and you see all the stars. I don't care the name of the stars. I can't believe the Milky Way as it's like a big light cloud. God knows the name of everyone. And the stars is more as the number of the sands in the sea. And God knows the name of everyone. This is who we're asking you to believe in. Where did your life come from? Where does your next breath come from? It comes from Christ because of him everything consists. And everything gets its power from him. Without him, everything would be dead. The trees would never grow again. This is the faith we're asking you to come. No empty faith. We're asking you to come with faith in the person of Christ that holds the power of this world together in his hand. My dear friend, will you come? Just believing that the Lord Jesus Christ created this. He's seen the mess it got into. He come down and he died that you and I might be saved tonight. And all he wants for us, faith. Think of the woman, the gentle touch. She knew. She was healed. And my friend, you can go from this place tonight knowing you're healed for just having a look at this person that we've tried to bring to you. We'll just ask for God's blessing in the meeting. Our gracious God and Father, we come to thee. We thank thee, our God, that we have a Saviour to preach. We thank thee for Christ. Our God, we thank thee from the life that flows from this one. We thank thee, our God, for the blood that flowed from Calvary, that can cover us and cleanse us of all our sin. And our God, make us right with thee, right for thy heaven. We know, our God, in our sin, we could never enter in. You could never allow us in there to mess that up. So, our Father, as we come to thee, we just pray for thy help. We pray for any that's been in here, that thy word might be taken to them, and they might realise the truth of it, and just come with that small glimmer of faith in the person of thy great Son. We pray, our God, that thou would just part us with thy blessing. And we pray, our Father, that thou would look upon all tonight for good and for eternity. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious and loving name. Amen. We might just sing our closing hymn. First two verses of 250. First two verses of 250. After which the meeting's entirely over.